Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Black Box Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and President of Black Box Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I hope you all are keeping safe and healthy. On the call, I'm joined by Deepak Bansal, Executive Director and our Global CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We've uploaded our results presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Since this is our maiden earnings call, we'd like to share some brief information about our company, an overview of our business performance, followed by financial performance for quarter one fiscal 2023. Black Box is a leading global digital ICT solution provider, having expertise in consulting, designing, deploying, managing, and securing customer IT and communication infrastructure. Business today needs relevant technology solutions to drive their business imperatives. This is where Black Box helps to design and deliver relevant technology solutions and services to accelerate our customers' business. Initially, with dominance in India in the enterprise communication space, Black Box today is a strong global player with major presence in North America, Europe, Middle East, and APAC markets, and has a strong team of 3,900+ highly skilled resources, having serving clients through an expanded offerings and geographical reach across 35 countries. Our business are divided into following key segments. Global solution integration business, where we consult, design, deploy, manage, and secure digital technology infrastructure for our global customers to help transform and accelerate their business by partnering with best-of-breed technology manufacturers. Our growth strategy is focused around providing solutions in areas of connected and smart campuses, including IoT, digital workplace, customer experience, data center and edge networks, wireless and mobility, including 5G and LTE, and cybersecurity. The technology product solutions business is where we sell our Black Box own IP products and Black Box branded white label digital technology infrastructure products. We also provide warranty and tech support for these products to enhance customer experience. Our go-to-market for our technology product solutions business is through integration partners and value-added resellers. Our product portfolio in the TPS includes signal switching, KVM, visualization, IoT, networking, infrastructure, and connectivity. The TPS business contributes 20% of our quarter's business. GSI business contributes 80% of our overall quarter business. As you are aware that we acquired Black Box in U.S. in 2019. The acquisition of Black Box has helped us to serve better our global customer base, expand our capabilities, enhance our solutions portfolio, and extend our presence globally to 35 countries across six continents. Today, we are bigger and better with a combined workforce of over 3,900 highly trained and talented individuals worldwide and growing client portfolio that we are certainly proud to serve. Our marquee customer base spans across industry verticals, primarily in financial services, healthcare, technology, retail, travel and hospitality, consumer goods, and broadcasting. We have developed a stable and long-tenure relationship with our customers Our top 10 customers approximately contribute 40% of our revenues. Geographically, North America contributes 74%, Europe 10%, India 7%, APAC 5%, and balance 4% in other markets we operate. Our strategy revolves around being global, think global and act local when it comes to business. We believe in keeping our relationships local where it belongs, and at the same time, we're relevant to providing flexibility to our customers to cost-effective deliver in 35 countries, including from our central residence in India. Our global strategy is in line with delivering better results and accelerating our customer business. Today, for the financial year 21-22, we are a 5,370 crores revenue business, serving 250 of the Fortune 500 companies, 8,000 global customers, 5,000 active client locations, serviced on-site, 30-odd global technology partnerships, and as I said, 3,900 global team members. The company is driving two-pronged strategy for growth, organic and inorganic. The company continues to make investments in high-growth areas such as data centers, cloud offerings, and cybersecurity with increased focus on cross-selling opportunities, global deployment opportunities, and significant investment in high-quality talent. In the back of these investments, we expect to increase business from existing clients and add new logos. In organic, the company continues to look at opportunities on a regular basis in line with our acquisition strategy. On a medium-term basis, the company aims to increase market penetration in the existing geographies and add new clients. By 2024, the company expects the revenue to cross 7,000 crores and achieve an EBITDA margin in the range of 9 to 10%. Our endeavor is to be a leading ICT solution integrator and advance towards more integrated value-added IT services, which will help in margin expansion. That's from my side. I now hand over the call to Deepak to run through the financial highlights during the quarter. Deepak.
Thank you, Sandeep, for detailed overview. Good morning, everybody. I will now run you through our financial performance for quarter one FY23. So first, I will discuss revenues. So we achieved revenues of 1,372 crores in quarter one of FY23 versus 1,195 crores in quarter one FY22, an increase of 15% on YOY basis. But there is a decline by 5% on QOQ basis because in quarter four we achieved 1,442 crores. The sequential drop in revenues is because of few project delays, largely at the back of supply chain constraints, and delivery of them is deferred to subsequent quarters. We continue to see momentum in our order book and robust project backlog. We achieved gross profit margin of 27.7% in quarter one of FY23. The compression in gross profit margin is caused by inflationary pressures on overall cost, primarily on account of manpower and supply chain. EBITDA of rupees 54 crores in quarter one of FY23 versus 57 crores in quarter one of FY22. Versus 80 crores in quarter four of FY22. Our EBITDA margin stood at 3.9% in quarter one of FY23 as compared to 4.8% in quarter one of FY22, which was 5.5% in quarter four of FY22. EBITDA was primarily impacted due to compression in gross margin. We achieved PAT, profit after tax, of rupees 15 crores in quarter one of FY23 versus rupees 31 crores in quarter one of FY22 versus rupees 16 crores in quarter four of FY22. Profit after tax was impacted due to lower EBITDA and higher finance costs caused by additional debt drawn to fulfill working capital requirements to augment growth. Earnings per share, we reported an EPS of ₹0.93 per share in quarter one FY23 versus ₹1.91 per share in quarter one of FY22 versus ₹0.96 per share in quarter four of FY22. Over the years, BlackBox has built a solid foundation of excellent customer connections. We will continue to strengthen these relationships and build strong partnerships. We remain optimistic to drive profitable future growth. That's all from my side. I now leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. Good morning. Sir, can you explain a little about the acquisition of BlackBox Corporation? And how are you turning around the business, which was 3x-4x of your company? Also, please share some color on the debt funding for this acquisition.
Raj, I think there's Sanjeev here. Your voice is not very clear, but I got the question you're asking about the turnaround for BlackBox Corporation. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. So I think, so we acquired, as I said, we acquired BlackBox in 2019, early 2019. I think the company was not doing well. I think there were a lot of costs. There were a lot of systems, many ERP systems. There were a lot of debt on the books. So I think we got in the company, the fundamental thing that we did was to define the ratios of the company. To that extent, everything that we work on is based on ratios, based on our gross margin, which is recent. We figured out what should be their G&A metrics, what should be our working capital metrics, and so on and so forth. We aligned all that. We took an approach of downsizing the overlay costs close to $10-$15 million. We have focused on procurements to ensure that we centralize a large part of procurement to get efficiencies. We've also aggregated our subcontracting costs to see that we're able to get a leverage. So I think we used a multi-pronged strategy looking at ratios, people costs for improving our gross margins, looking at procurement efficiencies, and then, of course, rebalancing the balance sheet so that our cost of money and cost of finance came down. Last but not the least, we started our operating center of excellence in India, which did not exist. It allowed us to move some of our back-end processes. Although we got hit by COVID as we started to get into the process, the journey of improving is on, and we expect that as we move forward, we should be able to gain from the restructuring benefits that we have done over the time.
Sir, also, can you please share some color on the debt funding for this acquisition?
I didn't get your question. Your voice is very choppy.
So this is regarding the same only. So can you please share some color on the debt funding for this acquisition?
Sorry, we are not able to hear the question.
Mr. Joshi, could you speak a little louder?
My voice is clear now, sir?
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise.
Sir, I will join you by the queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First is, as I can understand from your presentation, North America contributes 74% of the revenue and an employee base of 2,100 plus. So do you intend to shift few of the employee base to the low-cost countries like India? And what would be the quantum of benefit?
That's a very good question. Yeah, so I think our substantial business, as you rightly said, it comes from North America, about 74%. And we have larger drivers here. So I think I told earlier, so we have opened up a center of excellence in the last 12 months, and we are ramping that up. So some of our back-end processes, especially shared services in finance, are the support center for our North operations and other shared services have been gradually being moved to our low-cost geographies like Bangalore and Mumbai. So we'll continue to focus on that. As I said in my earlier presentation, that we are a global company. We think globally, but act very locally. So we are constantly looking at efficiencies of moving, creating a hybrid work environment, both local and global. And we expect to ramp that up over the course of the next 12 months' time, adding at least 300-odd personnel in our people portfolio in local geographies like India. And we expect that it will be margin effective between 100 and 200 basis points for us as far as creating efficiencies of people working out of India or any other local geography is concerned.
Okay, okay. And sir, on the TPS business, like the technology product solution business, you mentioned that you are a market leader in few of the product categories. So can you explain what is the driving force which has helped us to maintain the leadership position? Like, I'm trying to understand, is it to do with the R&D or marketing or technical support which we offer?
Okay, so I think our technology product solutions is 20% of our business, and we're seeing growth there as well. We're focused on specific areas of technology products, specifically around KVM and audio video products, which we expect to rapidly grow. The expectation in the control command center and video processing is expected to grow rapidly over the next few years, and therefore we're investing in that. We have two R&D centers in Ireland and in Bangalore, and our products are market leader in space. We expect, and therefore we have strong investment in R&D, and we expect that investment in R&D will continue to grow. We're adding future-looking portfolios in IoT in our technology product space, including bringing cloud platforms for the products with as well. So I think our growth levers and our market standing is based on a combination of go-to-market through our partners and distribution, to focus in R&D, expanding in R&D, both in our Ireland operations in Bangalore, and bringing state-of-the-art products ahead of time. A combination of that we expected to improve our growth rate and also our margin in the product business.
Okay, sir, that was helpful. Just one last question. On your presentation in slide number 40, you have mentioned that we have relationships with global distributors like Ingram, TD Synnex, etc. So wanted to understand what is their role versus our role in the IT supply chain?
So I think our product business is sold through two-tier distribution like any IP-based product manufacturers. So we do partner with large distribution companies like ScanSource or TD Synnex or Ingram in the US and elsewhere. And the go-to-market is through integration partners. And from a black box perspective, we provide high-touch engagements to customers to evangelize our products and provide technical and warranty support to our partners, both integration partners and distribution partners.
Okay, okay, understood. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for upcoming quarters.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Anjana Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Anjana, you are.
Okay. Sir, a couple of questions from my end. If you could just tell me, sir, you mentioned in your opening remarks about inorganic strategy. What is your filtration criteria before making an acquisition? I'm just trying to understand, are you planning to acquire a business vertical as well?
Yeah. So I think our inorganic strategy is based on propelling either expansion geography or allowing us to add a solutions portfolio or add a customer or a talent base. So we take a mixture of these three pillars to decide whether it makes sense for us. Clearly, we want the acquisition to be accretive. We follow, we are not emotional about economics. It, acquisition is an economic aspect. So we look at whether it will allow us for growth in a certain market, allow us a portfolio of solutions or products that will allow us to cross-sell within our ecosystem of customers. So we take a matrix approach, make sure that we are able to bring in value from the company and focus on the economics of acquisition. And we'll continue to look at acquisition that we believe will make sense for us. We are a value buyer, so therefore we see that we can gain from the acquisition either a product, a solution, or a market. We would definitely look at.
This is the operator. The disturbance is from the line of Darshana Mehta. Go ahead with the question.
Sorry, sir. Sir, I joined the call late, so apology if this question is already answered. But sir, just wanted your guidance on revenue growth for this year and what would be our margins for the year as a whole? What are we projecting for this year?
Okay, so we are looking at growing our revenues between 15% and 20%, and from a margin perspective, I think we're looking at a gross margin in the region of 27-28%, and we expect our operating margin in the range of 5-6%.
Right. And so, let's say, so I think in this kind of business, we have previously guided that we can achieve margin of, I'm talking about operating margin of around 8-10%. So would do you see the same to be achievable in next 2 to 3 years?
Yes. So I addressed that sometime back in my opening comments. We expect the revenue growth to continue the same momentum over the next couple of years' time. And with initiatives that we are taking with margin improvement, globalizing, utilizing our hybrid delivery model from India, we expect the margin to move to the region of 9-10% in a few years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anuj Shah from Srina Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yeah. So I understand Facebook is one of our largest clients on the data center infrastructure side. So can you elaborate what exactly is our scope of offering on this side of business?
Yes. So Facebook, as you now call Meta, happens to be one of our largest customers and growing in the digital infrastructure connected building space. For such a part of the data center, we're responsible for providing network infrastructure, both passive and active, starting from the fiber when the telecom operator leaves the fiber, up to the rack, which is the digital infrastructure, the wireless infrastructure inside the data center, and the back infrastructure that allows for your mobility communication inside a very large infrastructure. Meta is a very, very large infrastructure. The data center is powered by 159. So you need to figure out the mechanics to communicate. So we are a network provider which is the backbone or the highway on which the applications run. In doing that, we provide the fiber communication infrastructure, the passive infrastructure, the cabling infrastructure, the connected infrastructure of the active network, the wireless network inside the data centers going up to the racks. So that's what we do currently. We are slowly and steadily progressing up the value chain within the client. It's one of our largest clients. It's been a 5-year relationship now and we're growing. And we expect to do more share of wallet within Meta as we move forward.
Thank you, sir. That's helpful. One more question. Can you help me understand what are the measures that we are taking to navigate on the supply side challenges and labor shortages?
Okay, so I think so the supply side challenges with the chip shortage and stuff that continue to be an issue. And I think Deepak alluded earlier on in his financial comments. So we are looking at aggregating or ordering in advance or projecting what we need so that we're able to time ourselves with respect to supply chain or wherever we need our products from our technology partners to be able to mitigate that delivery risk. We expect that to continue for a while, but we are taking all measures. It has affected a little bit of a working capital because we have to provide for, plan for inventory and other things in advance to be able to do the projects. We're also aggregating with some of our supply chain vendors and partners to be able to get priority in able to source it on time to complete projects for our large customers. On the labor side, of course, again, we are looking at innovative methods. Apart from sourcing or deploying some of our skill sets that can be done remotely out of India, which wasn't the case 2 years back, that's helpful for us. We have started our graduate training, hiring programs and training. We have also, within the U.S., where we need localized workforce or any of the markets, we're looking at internship programs to be able to rebalance our costs, investing in training so that we are able to get in much entry-level people, train them faster so that our lateral hirings are reduced. Last but not the least, of course, the cost of labor. We're repricing ourselves to go to our customers, and all new bids are taking into account the inflationary cost and the labor cost increases so that we are able to price it back to our customers.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Akshay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a few questions. Firstly, as you mentioned in the opening remarks, the idea behind Think Global and Act Local. So can you elaborate more on how the strategy will work while delivering solutions to the client?
Okay, so I think our business is largely digital infrastructure business. It is a real-time business to build out the data center infrastructure, communication infrastructure for our customers. So therefore, our business model is more localized than other IT services companies to that extent. Having said that, there is a reasonable element of work that now can be done from any part of the world in a connected environment. We are all IT connected for the world. So I think so that's the mantra of saying how can we remain global and local both. We also are following those customers specifically who have footprint in more than one market. Most of the marquee customers have. And I think our change of context to those customers are that we are able to give them unified, seamless service across their operations. We have very many companies that are serving in 10, 15, 20 markets, supporting their technology infrastructure, the digital highway on which their applications run. So therefore, are also serving them locally where required, in campus, inside, in country, and or, as and when possible, using our remote workforce in Philippines, in India, or other places to serve that. So that's the mantra of what I call global. We think globally, act locally, because we are able to build the relationship locally, and of course, use the best-in-class processes to serve globally from wherever we can in a hybrid model to be cost-effective and margin-effective, both from our perspective and allow the customers to affiliate their business.
Okay. Okay. So secondly, can you name a few of your marquee clients and the partnerships?
Yeah. So I think we serve a few of the marquee clients. Of course, would be in the technology cloud space. We work with customers like Facebook, Amazon, and Google. From a technology customer standpoint, we serve some of the top five technology companies, including Intel and others. From banking perspective, we serve some of the largest banks in the U.S., like Bank of America. So these are some of our marquee clients.
Understood. Lastly, to circle back to opening remarks, I believe you mentioned a target revenue of around 7,000 crores by FY 2024 and a margin, operating margin of 9%-10%. So can you just give more color how you intend to achieve this growth?
Yeah. So I think I answered previously. We're looking at about 15%-20% organic growth in the business. That's coming at the back of hypergrowth in some specific segments of our business, specifically data center, networking, and cybersecurity. Our pipeline has been very, very strong. Of course, we are seeing a little bit of a project delay, but we don't expect that to last for the next 2 years. Of course, it might last for the next couple of quarters. So we are seeing a robust pipeline with our customers across segments, but more specifically in the network infrastructure, which you must be seeing, 5G, LTE coming in with cloud data centers. Even in India, you see the number of investments in billions of dollars with players coming in. We are a very, very strong player. We expect our order book to swell significantly and will drive and propel at least 15%-20% growth. So that's on one side. With growth, we expect our gross margin to expand. Our workforce that we are now expanding out of managing remotely out of India would be accredited to us, allow us to expand our gross margin by 100-200 basis points. So that will be accredited to us to go towards our goal of 9%-10%. But thirdly, we are expecting to be able to become more efficient with the scale, with our shrinkage as a percentage of our G&A. We don't expect the G&A to grow in a linear fashion. So that will allow us for a margin expansion of 100 basis points or so. And then, of course, last but not the least, scale will bring in some procurement efficiencies and some operating efficiencies. So we are looking forward to gradually move from 6%, 7% to 8% to 9% to 10% over the course of the next 2 to 3 years' time. And the goal is to reach 7,000 crores by fiscal 2024, hitting a 9%-10% operating margin.
Understood. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Karthikeyan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. Can I request you to share a perspective on how does your business get affected by the migration to cloud in general? Does that shrink your network opportunities or expand it? And how should one visualize your business, say, 3, 5 years out? Because near-term order book will take care of requirements, but how does one visualize the world, say, 3, 5 years out? And what kind of a business model you would need to adopt in this environment? Thanks.
Okay. So I think if I understood, you're basically asking how will the embracing of cloud and expansion of cloud affect our business positively or negatively?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I think we expect, okay, so I got the question. So I think we expect the adoption of cloud or the expansion of cloud is accredited to our business. And of course, we are cloud builders for some of the largest cloud providers. I told earlier, we partner with Google, with Meta, with Amazon to build their cloud infrastructure. On one side of that, our data center infrastructure. So basically, I think we expect the digital highway on which the cloud will run to dramatically expand over the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And BlackBox is very well poised in creating that digital infrastructure on which people will consume cloud. So that's on one side. On the other side, some of our businesses like our contact center, our digital workplace, we are providing our cloud services. We're taking our business that was on-prem to cloud and providing wraparound managed services. So again, taking some of our on-prem businesses or providing telephony solutions, collaboration solutions or contact center solutions that we are very, very strong. We are well poised to provide. We are providing cloud-based services, subscription services, turning our one-time CapEx sales businesses into subscription annuity model. So on the both sides of the aisle, as a partnering with the cloud infrastructure providers, the big fives, we are partners with them to build out the infrastructure. On the other side, with our technology partnership with very many companies in the digital workplace or the networking workspace, we are expecting to leverage our global presence to provide cloud-based services, subscription services, annuity services. So we expect the advent of cloud, the adoption of cloud, the expansion of cloud to be highly accretive at the overall Black Box go-to-market and business plans going forward and drive our growth of 15-20% organically, allowing us to expand our margins and achieve our goals for operating margin over the next couple of years.
Just to understand this better, have you seen a dramatic increase in, or let me not use adjectives, increase in the size of projects, reflecting the centralization of service, if I may say so, versus earlier, how do you see that happening?
No, so I think I touched on earlier. So we are seeing very large expansion of the order book within the data center cloud infrastructure space, and the order books are very, very large. The product size, we used to have very few projects over $10 million a couple of years back. There have been projects over $20 million, $30 million now. The project size are larger. So yes, to answer your question, we are seeing our project size swell multifold from where we were 2-3 years back. And that's what we see in certain growth areas, and we'll continue to push those areas and invest in those areas.
And does that change the economics of the business because you're dealing with larger customers, or does it worsen or improve some perspective again on that?
No, so I think it will bring in efficiency of scale. It will allow us to focus and increase the share of wallet with these large capital expenditure companies that we partner with. It will be accretive to our growth, both in terms of revenue and margins.
Mm-hmm. And how does it impact your product business? Would you be able to influence your customer behavior on that side? Or would they give you, specifications and therefore how to think about your product business evolving, and as a part of your, say, FY24 revenue mix, what percentage should one look at coming from products?
So we expect our product business to grow at the same pace of 15-20%. So the overall revenue mix between products and our services business is still remain 80-20. Our product business is focused on certain specific areas of growth, most specifically on control and command centers. If you look at the massive expansion of airports and stuff like that worldwide, they all require very specific kind of command centers. We are focused on collaboration, audio-video, which we all know is expanding and exploding. We all today speak more on video processing than any time than anything else. And then, of course, we are focused on some of the IoT products and every other aspects of IoT, be it cameras or otherwise, will become a norm moving forward. And we have solutions and products in that space as well. So although it's a smaller part of our business, but we expect that to grow at a similar pace. The ratio will remain kind of consistent at 80-20. And and it's a specific focus area that we have, which allows us for the better margins. We want to focus on IP, focus on R&D, and focus on our go-to-market. So in summary, the ratios won't change. It will continue to grow at a similar pace on the product side of the business as well.
And what part of your product revenue currently comes from your projects business?
Can you repeat again? What part of your products revenue?
Yes, revenue comes from your projects business. As in, how much are you able to cross-sell to your project customers? Is there no overlap?
So there might be a minor overlap, but I think, as you said, the go-to-market for our product business is different through integration partners and distribution. So there's no direct overlap with respect to our go-to-market for our solutions business that is largely a direct-to-customer, a Fortune 500 customer business.
Interesting. Interesting. Thanks for patiently answering and best wishes.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know, in Q3 you had guided revenue of around 7,000 to 7,500. What has changed that has led us to revise the guidance to FY24?
Can you repeat the question once again?
So in Q3, you had guided, it's there in your presentation as well, that you would achieve revenue and normalized EBITDA margin by FY23 of around 7,000 to 7,500 and 9 to 10%. Now, in the current presentation, I am seeing that the same has been shifted by 1 year to FY24. So I am just asking, what has changed?
Yes, you're talking about Q3 of last year, correct?
Q3 this December 2022.
Yes. So I think two aspects to it. One, of course, are the overall change in the supply chain dynamics, which was unwarranted. We expected that to correct much quickly, which has not. We have a dependency on our projects for supply chain. We do very large amount of projects, both and also the product side with the complete dry up of semiconductors did affect us. It gave us a 6 to 9 month kind of a challenge for us to correct. Therefore, it was required for us to reassess our business, which is still not completely in line, but I think we are much better off where we were in Q3 of last year, because we have to reassess as to what our growth could be and how will we take it forward, and therefore the change.
Okay, so mainly supply chain issues.
Mainly from a project perspective, because I think if you look at when we had the COVID issues, the expectation of opening up for our projects wasn't as soon as nobody understood that we'll be locked down for nearly 2 years' time. We were expecting it to open up. We do a lot of projects for our customers on site as well. So the return to workplace also affected. Some uncertainty in supply chain that lingered. We still have some of manufacturers who need time to supply 6 to 9 months time. So we have to rebalance and recorrect certain aspects of our project delivery. Although we had our order book continue to swell, we started to see delay in ability to execute some of those, and therefore rebalance our projections going forward.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Amit Shah from PC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Recently the company has won a $500+ million contract from a leading American multinational bank. So can you please throw some colors on this deal?
Yeah, so this is a end-to-end support for the IT infrastructure from one of the top banks in the U.S. It has been a long-standing client for us. And so this was a renewal of our contract for a renewed period of 5+1+1. This gives us confidence in our partnership. And that's what is the $500+ million customer that we have.
Sir, and lastly, sir, you mentioned in your opening remarks about inorganic strategy. So what is your filtration criteria before making an acquisition? But I'm trying to understand, are you planning to acquire a new business vertical or geographies?
Yeah, so I think it's a three-pronged approach. First and foremost, of course, we need to see that it is economically accretive to us and our shareholders, that's one. The second, of course, and the thesis lies that we are able to either gain a geographical presence that we are missing, and we see growth in the geographical business, either new growth or from existing customers. Adding a product or a solutions portfolio that we find is complementary to our current business, or ability to kind of extract better margin better economic returns. So I think a mixture of that, you know, it's an art and science both. As I said, we are not emotional about economics, so I think this should make economic sense for ourselves, for our shareholders, and therefore we have a filtering criteria that makes sense. We should also be, we don't want to leverage ourselves too much, so we are cognizant of that as well. So combination of all that is a filter which goes through our corporate development process and goes through understanding how it makes sense, and then we make the move. We are open to inorganic expansion, but as I said, we are not just jumping into something just because we want to add some revenues.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Isha Savla from RA Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, a very good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, Isha.
So my question is a follow-up on a question that a previous participant was asking. So on the Black Box Corporation acquisition that you've done, is there any leverage? Could you let us know the leverage levels for that acquisition?
I will defer that to my CFO, Deepak.
Yeah. So Isha, when we acquired Black Box, whatever leverage we took at that time, that was all repaid within 1 year of the acquisition. And currently we don't have the leverage which we have taken that time. Currently, we have the debt of close to around 360 crores in our books, which is primarily on the working capital side of it, where we are funding our working capital. But otherwise, there is no acquisition debt on sitting on the books which was taken at the time of acquisition.
All right, all right. Secondly, sir, I also wanted to understand that there were some warrants that you had issued. The promoters have recently infused capital in the company by the way of warrants. So can you talk a little bit more about these warrants, please?
Sure. So we have, promoters have subscribed 225 crores of warrant in the company. So that money has fully come in within last 12 months time frame to us. So those with those warrants, now the promoter equity in the company stands to around 71.2%, and this was fully subscribed by end of June 2022. The money is primarily used for reduction in the liabilities and the general corporation purposes. That's what the money is used. So we have infused the money to pay off some of the debt and all those things in the business.
Thank you, sir. This is very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Parth Goswami from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunities. I have a couple of questions. So first one is regarding the acquisition which you have made in the cybersecurity space. So can you elaborate on this acquisition and what is the typical margin profile in this business?
So this is about Dragonfly you are talking about.
So we made a acquisition for cross-border assets for Dragonfly. Yeah, so the margin profile of the business is close to 40%. And I think that's our expectation for cybersecurity. We are bullish about cybersecurity. I think anything that we do in our five other business lines, be it connected buildings, data centers, networking, needs to be secured. So we are looking at becoming a significant player in the cybersecurity space, and therefore made the acquisition. And I think it is an accretive acquisition. The average margin expectation, gross margin expectation from the business is close to 40%.
Okay. Secondly, is in terms of geographical expansion. So which market you intend to expand and what are the scope of expansion over there?
Yes, I think we have been looking at expanding geographically in the last 12 months time, or maybe 18 months time. We have made sales investments in Europe, bringing in a a new European theater leader. He came in from Athos, very experienced, and we're building our team. It's also helping us to drive some of our customers of business needs and projects within Europe, and vice versa. So that's one. We're also augmenting our presence in the Asia Pacific region. Based out of Singapore, we've added a significant amount of management talent there, and we expect those businesses in that region to also grow significantly. So I think we continue to look at markets where we are present. We also look at customers and how we can serve them. Many of our customers are present in all the markets that we operate, so therefore we need to bring in certain scale. So going forward, we expect our businesses in Europe, Asia Pacific, to scale up. It wouldn't change the proportion of business dramatically, but the overall volume in these markets will grow.
Okay. So just a last one. Given the current economic environment, the enterprises are making significant investment in technology infrastructure to stay ahead of the curve. So what is the share of cloud as a percentage of Black Box consolidated revenue and margin profiles of the same? And what are the plans to scale up this piece of business?
So we do not segment ourselves clearly from a cloud business, because as I alluded earlier, a cloud business is a generic term for a cloud provider, a cloud builder, you know, and a cloud partner. So there are various kinds of players, as you know, right? You have Amazon, you have Google, you have Facebook, they're all cloud guys. And then we have the many others. So we play in various side of the aisle, right? We are a data center partner for building cloud. We also provide some of our services and solutions, more specifically digital workplace, contact center, including our cyber business, our SOC business is delivered through the cloud. So we do not have a specific percentage to report that, but we expect all the aspects of our cloud business within our global solutions business to grow, both the data center, our cloud business within cybersecurity or contact center or digital workplace, to significantly grow and drive our growth. And as I said, we are looking at 20% organic growth, and we are confident of doing that over the next couple of years.
Okay. Okay, fine. That was helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Verma for closing comments.
Thank you. I think with this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.